a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
So excited to be joined by Utah State head coach Blake Anderson. And Coach Anderson, I know you've put a lot of these camps behind you as a player and as a coach. Does it go slow? Is this one going slower? Is it going faster than usual or about the same? Do some go faster and slower for you?
I think you look back, you're like where it went. But when you're in the middle of it, there's nothing slow about or there's nothing fast about camp. It's just a grind. We're 8-9 days in. We started earlier than most because of the early start with UConn coming in week zero, which somebody's still going to have to explain to me what week zero is. But I think you look up, you get midweek, mid-season, 4 or 5 weeks into the season, you look like, wow, where did it go? But in the middle of the grind of fall camp, I think it's just a daily discipline to, like, we're going to get through this. And obviously you know that as a player, and a lot easier to say it went fast in hindsight than it is when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'll join you and die on this hill if you want to. Let's get rid of this game zero crap, this week zero.
It's week one for us.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We got a matchup with everybody else in the country, but it's still our first game, so we're focused on it. We got 3 weeks out. We need every bit of the 3 weeks to get ready. And today was the Monday after scrimmage day, we were light on Sunday, just kind of brushed them up. And then the Monday after scrimmage day, you're a weekend, the body hurts everywhere from head to toe. It was a grind today, and the guys did good.
Well, I'm really excited to see some of the things that were coming out of this scrimmage that went down on Saturday. I know that you guys went inside because of some weather issues, but I could go through some things with Cooper Laga, and we'll get into Logan Bonner and some of that. But I want to start with this, Coach. Between Daniel Zurcyak and Byron Vaughns, they wrapped up, what, eight or nine
yeah.
sacks between the two of them in the scrimmage?
They got to the quarterback. For them, great. Obviously, we need them to play at that level. And they are very similar in how they play. We were concerned graduating Nick Henniker. There's no doubt that he brought a ton of energy to our team a year ago and made play after play. We felt like that we weren't quite ready on the roster with a developmental guy. There's just too big of a gap between what he could bring to the table and what some of the young guys could. So we went out and recruited Daniel Grzec from he was a Nevada transfer. Their staff had changed and left to go to Colorado State, and he just wasn't sure that's where he wanted to be, and he just fit us really, really well. He's got a lot of the same traits that we loved in Nick in terms of his speed off the edge, his energy level every day, his desire to rush the passer. So you put him and Byron on the edges, and if when they're healthy and going, it is a true challenge, and they had a great day Saturday, which tells you that our tackles struggled because they got to the quarterback way too much. I think you're right. 8, 9, 10 times out of 120 snaps. And that's a lot of snaps, but man, they did a phenomenal job, and they set the tempo of our defense. I mean, they speed the clock up for any quarterback we're going to play, and they bring energy to practice every day. Daniel's been a great addition, and Byron is his role is just getting bigger and bigger every day.
I played that DM position for a year with BYU and then played the D-tackle position for 3 years. And I know in order to get a sack off the edge, you got to have a push in the middle. And you must have been getting a push from Hale Matuapuaka as well. Somebody's getting a push in the middle.
We definitely are. He and Kessie are doing a great job inside. Phil and some of the other guys. We're getting a lot of rotational players in there. We're throwing a lot of bodies at the problem. But you mentioned Hale. He was a huge factor a year ago. We don't win 11 games without Hale. And Mark is doing a great job in the interior. So you're right. If the quarterback just step up and escape, it doesn't work. But when we're getting collective push across the front, and we are, I thought the defense played really well across the board. They had struggled a few days earlier in a competitive drill. The offense had kind of had their way with them, and they responded and had a phenomenal day. It was a little offensive early. The first kind of 25, 30 plays of the things just seemed like the offense was going to have another one of those days. And we went to a break. We came back out, and from that point to the end, really the defense set the tempo for everything from that point on, and played lights out, and did a phenomenal job on third down and getting the offense off the field. So we got good work. And you know, head coach never leaves a scrimmage when you're playing yourself in a great frame of mind. You're worried about one side or the other, and luckily I feel good about our offense because we got so many guys coming back that I didn't want to panic, but our defense really, really handed it to them.
That means more to me than if I saw Logan Bonner was out there throwing for 680 yards and nobody touched him, because I think we don't have a ton of questions on Logan Bonner's ability, but you got questions on some one-on-one pass rushing off the defensive side that really can make the difference for this team. So to me, it's nice to see some of those numbers coming out of camp. And I did see that Logan Bonner was in action, 5 of 10. You had 10 attempts out of Logan for 73 yards. Are you really limiting Logan at this point in camp, Coach?
Yeah, we're being smart with him. He's still only in that 7 to 8 month kind of recovery. If he was playing another position, we would probably even have to limit him more. But with the brace on and just how well he's done in his rehab, he's doing very, very well. I mean, his first day out, he was like 12 of 12, 4 touchdowns. And so you felt like he was comfortable in the pocket. He's throwing the ball well. When we held up the other day, he put the ball where it needed to go. He's not making that young, kind of careless mistake. He's protected the ball extremely well. I'm not sure he's even had a turnover through fall camp at this point, which is huge. He's checking the ball down, throwing it away. I mean, we're not ready to just take off and let him run, and we are limiting his reps. But at the rate he's going without some type of setback, we feel really, really comfortable that he's ready to take the first snap and really play full speed come UConn in 3 weeks. And that's saying a lot considering when he got hurt and just how hard he's worked in the offseason.
Is number two really well nailed down with Cooper Laga, or is that you're still allowing that to go back and forth?
Well, they're both getting reps, but just to be honest, I mean, Cooper's done everything we expect him to do. I will say this: Levi is doing a phenomenal job at growing in the offense. But Cooper showed us what he could do in the bowl game. He's done nothing at this point really to change our thought process of his ability to go out and run the offense. I do think Levi brings value to our team, and we're going to find some different ways to be creative with him. He's just such a great athlete. And you know, I know it's fast forward to January, but watching Cooper and Levi and Bishop and chasing those guys battle it out in the spring is going to be super fun to watch. It's a really, really good room, and they're all getting better every day. And I think they all learn from watching Logan. I mean, he's just a seasoned veteran that is a great example for what to do and how to control the offense. So pretty fortunate in that room. If Logan went down tomorrow for some reason, right now Cooper would be the guy to go, and Levi would be, I think, right there pushing him every step.
About 19 days left, as you mentioned, to kick off against UConn. Where you're at in camp now with some really good time under your belt, what areas are you seeing, Coach, that you really do need to work on as a staff and in those specific position groups? What areas are you seeing that you've got a lot of work or some real work that you need to get done?
Yeah, I mean, we still got to solidify the old line. We lost some guys there that played significant snaps, and clearly our defensive line is testing them every day. We need to stabilize that and get some days on top of days under our belt there where we can communicate and handle movement and be more consistent. That is a position we knew going in, kind of with what we graduated and what we have coming back, that we knew was going to be a little bit of concern. But I'd say, you know, having 19 days is important to us there. Feel pretty good offensively. Otherwise, the wideout group has settled in pretty well. And considering how much productivity we graduated, it won't look quite the same, but it has still been really effective. And we've got guys that have stepped in and have stepping up. You know, McGriff's doing a phenomenal job stepping up and really elevating his game. But Van Leeuwen and Nana Davis and Brad Cobb and Trell Vaughn, and, I mean, that group, Xavier Williams, had a really big day. So I think we're getting it there. So, you know, offensively, just stabilizing the O-line is huge. I think for us defensively, just the more that we work together. I mean, you're missing Justin Rice, Marcus Moore, Nick Henniger, and in the back end, you're missing Shaq Bond. Those were four really key vocal leaders. Athletically, we look really, really good over there, but leadership on that side and kind of communication, I think the next few weeks, just seeing that grow, because they're willing to run and we're athletic. Now, you know as well as I, that defense, they all got to be on the same page. I think we're seeing that daily. You know, Gervin Hall's been a great addition. MJ Tafisi, we mentioned Daniel Grisak's been a huge addition up front. I think just gelling that group together and just learning how to fit off each other and tackle in space, every one of those 19 days is going to be big for us.
I know you've been doing this thing for quite some time. I know that you've been coaching even before the transfer portal was a thing. And, Coach, I know when you came here to Utah State, you brought a lot of different players with you, and it was kind of that initial push at the one-time transfer, and I think we're going to see probably things expand to an any-time transfer, and it seems to be getting crazier and crazier. But how much has that changed the way you conduct business or can conduct business as a head coach? Having to integrate kids from, you know, maybe 7, 8, maybe even 10 different universities into the position group rooms, how tough is it to bring those transfers in, stir up position groups, and stir up those rooms, maybe hear some complaining and whining, or maybe, you know, having to deal with some prima donna attitude? How much has this changed what you're having to do as a coach?
You know, I would tell you that I tried not to let it impact how we do what we do in terms of environment and culture. We want to bring guys in that are going to fit that culture and understand what to expect when they get here. Now, we've always been really honest with the guys on the roster. We're going to try to out-recruit you every day. We're going to try to elevate the ability in the room every day. I think the difference is, in the past, most times, more times than not, that addition to the room was typically a younger guy. I mean, that was the, unless you went out and took a junior college player, you weren't bringing in 10 to 12 to 15 veteran, older, free agency type guys. That's been the biggest adjustment. And I think what we've been able to do, we've been able to identify guys, or clearly we did a year ago, guys that fit how we wanted to do things, fit the environment, culture that we're trying to create. So we didn't have those big ego issues. We tried very hard to bring in guys that understood, you know, this is a no-ego type building. And then I think we've made them come in and earn their way on the field. They didn't just walk in and step into the first huddle. They came in knowing that we're not guaranteeing you a spot. You've literally got to earn it. And once they do earn it, they've earned the respect of the guys as well. I mean, they came in and fought. They battled. They won the job. I think it helps a lot that you go out and win 11 games using that model. Had we gone out and really not won games and not been successful, we may be having a different conversation. But I think they respect the fact that we made their guys come in and earn every rep that they got. And I also believe they see on film and on the field, look, these guys make us better. We try to treat everybody the same. Expect the most from the best player in the room. I mean, we want to push the best player in the room the hardest. We want to expect the most from him as a staff. And really, they should expect the same thing. So It's a delicate balance, but it's the world we live in, and we got to be good in it, or we're going to get beat by it every week.
Man, isn't that the truth? It's an ever-evolving world. I try to put it into terms for people that may be CEOs or bosses or just employees working in some industry of the amount of change that this transfer portal has thrown into college football and the adjustments that men like you and Kyle Whittingham and Kalani Sitake here in the state, as well as Jay Hill and others, have had to really evolve and figure this whole thing out and adapt. You can't just stomp your feet and say, well, we're not going to deal with it here at Utah State. I mean, you have to really evolve. And, you know, I always worried about, you know, one thing that has really kept me away from coaching, and there's many, but one of the things was recruiting and really having to get into the houses of these young athletes and tell them how great they are. It's tough. And now feels like that coaches have to recruit them every year. And, you know, at the end of the season,
you're having to recruit your roster and you're having to go out and recruit others. We fortunately did not lose, you know, a ton of guys off a roster. I think that speaks a lot to culture and environment, how we treat kids, the success we're having in the building. But you do have to be conscious of building relationships with the guys here where they don't want to leave, where they feel a loyalty to you as a person and as a, yep, not just a coach, but a friend and a father figure and all the above. And then you do have to go fill holes and get on the road and recruit. So it doesn't stop. It's year round. It's 365 at this point. Even when you're on vacation, the phone's buzzing, ringing. Guys are coming on visits all summer long, all through the winter break. It is the hardest part to juggle. If it was just ball and it was just dealing with kids, but that aspect of it, and it's likely to get even crazier. As you mentioned, the rules seem to be pointing in a direction where it's going to be unlimited transfers, and we're dealing with this at a level that nobody has ever really dealt with it before. You know, there's no contracts involved like you have in the NFL. Yes, they have free agency, but the entire roster of every team in the NFL is not free agent every year. It's only a limited number. If it's unlimited transfers, you're literally saying anybody on your team can transfer every year without question. And that is a world that is going to be hard to juggle.
Wow. Yeah, and we'll talk, I'm sure, at length about that later on. I did want to ask you about this event coming up on Saturday. Coach, I know that you love getting involved with the community, and it's the Football Family Fun Day coming up August 13th this Saturday. I think it's at 2 o'clock, and I just wanted to mention that because I want Utah State fans to get out there, embrace this team and everything that Coach Anderson is doing. This is a team that's made up of great kids, and I've got a couple of kids that I feel like are my kids that I've watched grow up since they were born on that team, and I know what type of young men they are. So I want the Utah State fans to come out and visit. It should be a fun day on Saturday, right, Coach?
Well, hopefully we get better weather than we just got Saturday. It's funny. I hadn't seen rain in forever, and we got lightning and rain and all kind of stuff Saturday, but if any indication of what we should expect, it should be beautiful. We're going to get a good solid scrimmage in. We're out there an hour and a half, 2 hours. As I understand it, they're going to have all kind of stuff for families and kids before. We're going to do autographs and photos and stuff with fans after that on the field. And you mentioned, it is a great group of kids. It really is. We're going to be super competitive football-wise this year. We're going to make a run at it again as we did a year ago. But it is a great group of young men that we're really proud of. They're kids that you typically see them with their helmets on. I think it's a great opportunity to see them with their helmet off and get to kind of know their face and maybe get to have a conversation and take some photos with guys that they normally wouldn't get to. So we need fans out in a big number this year. We'd love to have them out Saturday where they can get to know us a little bit better, and we're going to expect great weather and a fun day.
It should happen, Coach. Fingers crossed for you. Good luck to you coming up this Saturday, and congratulations to this point in camp, and cannot wait for about 19 days to see this team kick off.
Appreciate it, Hollis. Take care.
All right. There you go, Coach Blake Anderson. Head coach of Utah State, doing a fantastic job trying to figure out things on the offensive line. And I know that they've got some adjustments that they need to make, and there were a lot of sacks given up in that scrimmage on Saturday. Whew. That was one of the big stats that stood out. I think it said 17 total sacks, 22, something like that, tackles for a loss.
And that's one of our things we said, got to keep Logan Bonner healthy.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. you don't want people leaking through and hitting your quarterback. Not at this point. That's a little bit scary, but should be a lot of fun coming up again this coming Saturday. If you're a Utah State fan and you want to get out there, part of this team event, and it's a family fun day, and it's going to be all kinds of great stuff for you. Go out there and go get some autographs from the players. Take your kids out there, get yourself a new Aggie shirt, and get yourself ready for the football season. That's what this is supposed to be about, right? It's supposed to be about enjoyment. And that's what football season is for me, being able to settle in and just enjoy a little bit of football. Kyle Whittingham wrapped up practice earlier today. He had some interesting comments, and we're going to visit some of those comments coming up in this next segment. So stay tuned for that. We will try to sneak some sports roulette in, but I want to let you hear from Kyle Whittingham, and that will be coming up here momentarily. In the meantime, Miles from Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us. Miles, what can you do to help our listeners with their ED?
You know, we're less than a month away from football season. Am I right there? And I'll tell you, we could get you on the other side of ED completely in less time than you think. It's called acoustic wave therapy. It's a technology, guys. And I will tell you what, it is changing the way that we treat ED using gentle pressure waves and technology right on the skin. It opens up those blood vessels, allows for more blood flow. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you're ready to, before kickoff, be on the other side of ED, pick up the phone and give us a call.
It's that easy. Just give them a call, 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. And if it's been something that's in the back of your mind and it's just playing mind games with you and you're just at your wit's end with all of it, give them a call, because this is the step that can help you get back to that place that you used to be so happy about. 801-901-8000. And Miles, I know that you've got some great stuff to give the listeners that give you a call.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Give us a call. Your exam assessment, blood flow ultrasound, all free, plus a gift just for coming in. If you're not ready to talk on the phone, chat with us online at wasatchmedicalclinic.com. But do yourself a favor, call us today.
801-901-8000. Give them a call. Get it taken care of. Stop thinking about it. Stop worrying about it. Stop letting it control all the fear that you've got with it. 801-901-8000. Thanks, Miles.
Thank you.
Kyle Whittingham and Sports Roulette coming up next.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by our college football insider, Riley Jensen.
As we go into this season, collectively, can you remember a time that there's been a better trio of quarterbacks at Utah State, Utah, and BYU?
No, I can't. When you have a great quarterback and you're going into a season, you've got a chance in every game. You're not just talking about good returning starters at quarterback. You're talking about good returning starters that have over 10 wins each. You're talking about maybe the best season in the history of the state of Utah as far as all three teams playing at a super, super high level. I think every single fan out there got to be really excited about this season. There's going to be some great offense in the state this year. I don't know it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Scotty G will be back in town tomorrow. I feel pretty good telling you that he's going to be back on the show tomorrow. If he's not back on the show tomorrow, then I think that we're safe in saying we may need to start proceeding a different way. So I'm pretty sure that Scotty's going to be back. In fact, I'm going to guarantee it. He's going to be back, so tune in tomorrow at noon so you can hear the pipes of Scotty G and all his stories from the Alaskan wilderness, because that's all coming up. So usually we start right into sports roulette by spinning the wheel, but Lloyd has decided to load the wheel, and we're going to go Kyle Whittingham heavy. Kyle had some comments after practice concluded today, and I wanted to let you hear in on Kyle and some of his thoughts from practice as things start to heat up a little bit, putting on pads and starting to pop a little bit. But Kyle Whittingham was started by asking, how did practice go today?
You know, a little slow start, coming off a day off. Sometimes that happens. It took us a minute to get in the swing of things, but finished strong and overall a positive day. It's day five, so we're getting right in the heart of the grind right now. We've got all the rest of this week to finish, all next week. Then school starts, and so we got that week, and then, you know, the game is still far out there. And so we've got to stay focused, stay mentally tough, and just continue to grind, because that's what it is right now. It's an absolute grind.
What does the backup quarterback battle look like behind Cam?
It looks good. I mean, as far as some good things going on, we don't have, you know, in as far as making a decision, we're not going to make a decision definitely before the first scrimmage, which will be Saturday. But, you know, JJ's looking good. Bryson Barnes is doing a good job. Nate is really looking good. Brandon Rose probably, you know, has one of the strongest arms, but is a little bit lacking in conceptual phase of the offense. He needs to spend more time in the film room, which he will. But we got a lot of good candidates. It's just not separating itself right now, but hopefully after the scrimmage it will.
Is it hard to keep them all happy?
I'm not worried about keeping people happy right now. I'm just worried about results on the field, and we'll just take it from there. I don't have time to worry about who's happy and who's not right this minute.
What is the most pressing spot on the roster right now as you look toward
pressing spot on the roster? Well, as far as the starters, getting the five offensive linemen solidified and working together, which we're very close to do. The backup quarterback, as we just talked about, is a focal point. And the secondary depth, we're making sure we have the secondary sorted out correctly.
Where does Paul Miley kind of fit into the offensive line situation?
Paul Miley is starting center right now. He's working with the ones. Didn't participate in spring, so he's a little bit rusty at the onset. But he's done a good job. And as of right now, it's his job until somebody beats him out.
Kyle, how are you feeling about the punting situation right now?
Much, much better. We're doing a much better job punting the football. You know, Jack, our new guy, is really hitting the ball well. He's got a strong leg, and we should be much improved in that area.
It's pretty unusual that the top two returning receivers are both tight ends, and Keith is kind of a hybrid there. How unique of a situation is that?
Well, it is unique, especially in this day and age of football, where the tight end is not really a part of everybody's offense. A lot of offenses don't even have a tight end. So, but for us and with Coach Ludd and what he does, it's a big part of what we do, and you got the talent level of those two guys, you're going to accentuate them even more. And so, but that's the number one objective and the job of the offensive coordinator is to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers, and they're two of the best playmakers.
Does Michael Williams still fit into the punting situation?
He's number two right now, out of two. So there's only two guys. So
you won't switch off.
We'll see what happens. We'd ideally like to have one guy do all the duties, whether, you know, sky territory or whatever. Just one guy that is the main punter.
How's the depth of the receiving core looking?
Coming along. You know, we got the four or five proven guys that have been here for a while, then four or five guys that are brand new. And so that's probably another area of emphasis, is trying to get those young guys sorted out and see who's going to be among those seven or eight that travel with us.
Kyle, how did you get into these Guardian caps? Obviously, the NFL is using it, but what got you on it?
Well, first of all, that, you know, the NFL made it mandatory for fall camp. You know, concussion-wise, you're always looking for a way to curb that through your drill work, through how you structure things. And if you can do it through a piece of a protective equipment, then that's all the better. So that's the whole objective. It's just like O-linemen wear knee braces because they're subject to that. Quarterbacks wear flak jackets because that's where, you know, helps them. And the entire team, other than QBs and specialists right now, are in the
Do you ever see a day where maybe they use a modified version of that in games?
Could be, but there's some issues there with, from what I understand, with helmet manufacturers and their, you know, and their the guarantees they make and stuff, and you know, maybe not be invalid if you have something that's modified in the helmet. So I don't know exactly all about that, but that would be something that would need to be looked at.
How do you manage the high expectations?
Well, you got to just embrace them. I mean, they are there, and there's no hiding from them. We'll, you know, we just meet them head on and understand that we're getting a lot of national attention, and we got to be mature enough to handle it and to continue to go about our business the right way, not think that we've got all the answers, that we've arrived, but still understand that we do have high expectations on this football team this season.
Your defensive tackles seem a little bit lighter this year in terms of weight. Is that do you approach the position differently than you have in the past?
No, but you're exactly right. You know, some of those guys need to add 5, 10, 15 pounds, and they made some inroads during the summer, but we usually have just bigger guys in there, but the guys we do have are quick, tough guys that that have good strength, but you're right, we're a little bit undersized with some of those guys. Not all of them, but with some of them.
There you go, Kyle Whittingham talking about this team and addressing some of the issues, and it's nice to hear him talking about that offensive line. And it was not in a sense of, well, our offensive line, we don't even know what we're going to do. We're just going to have to recruit some guys. We'll have an open tryout on campus. We're going to bring out anybody that's over 300 pounds on campus. It was nice because he's like, well, we're just trying to solidify everything. Maile is taking the starting reps at the center position, but Utah's got some offensive linemen that I'm really high on. I think that Lame is one of my favorite offensive linemen in the state. Very solid guard, and they've got options. And I think that that Utah offensive line is going to be fine. If there is a point where somebody might be able to throw some type of wrench into that offensive and make some issues, it could be on that offensive front or through that offensive front. But it's a solid offensive line. Then I loved hearing Coach Whittingham talking about dealing with the expectations, because this is something new, something that they really haven't had to deal with much. Where it, not that they haven't had high or lofty expectations, but it's not been this at this national level where we get a coach's poll thrown out and that Utah is placed instantly in the top 10. Utah checks in at number 8 on this year's preseason coaches poll, USA Today coaches poll. It was released just a little earlier today. Utah leading all Pac-12 teams, of course. And then you get Oregon that checked in at number 12. You get USC that checked in at number 15, overhyped. I know that Lincoln Riley is going to be there, but USC and Texas. Texas checked in at 18, and you just start to scratch your head like, oh, do they even care?
Yeah, that's the most overhyped one right there. They're always in the top 20 no matter what. It doesn't even matter.
I know.
I'm actually surprised they're out of the top 15.
Oh, it's crazy. Kentucky checked in at number 21. Houston checked in at number 25. BYU checking in outside of the top 25 at number 29. Probably right where BYU coaches and BYU players want to be. Disrespected. Got to build up the roster. You know, here's the thing. The AP poll will come out, and I think the AP poll is going to find BYU somewhere between 20 and 25. But I got to imagine that the AP puts BYU in there, and everybody's like, well, you can't lose to Alabama Birmingham. They didn't even have their quarterback. I don't even think they cared. I didn't care. I called that game for the national broadcast and was like, "What? This is." It was really just a terrible stadium. Now, I've got to tell you that the game ended up being really fun and enjoyable. The outcome was not what BYU wanted, but the game ended up, to a large degree, being at least entertaining and interesting. But definitely not what BYU was hoping for. And I can understand the conversation of, well, you can't lose that. Well, you know, they didn't have their quarterback, and Jaren Hall does make a difference. And they did finish number 13 in the final college football polls in week 15. So just kind of an interesting situation happening there. But Kyle Whittingham, ready and willing to take on the hype of this team going into the season. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Airports have been tough lately.
Man, WNBA is struggling. Los Angeles Sparks revealed on Twitter in early hours this morning that half of the team was forced to sleep at the airport after their flight out of Washington, D.C. was canceled, and there were not enough hotel rooms available for the entire traveling party. So you got the team captain, Lloyd, who puts out a TikTok or YouTube or something and said, "We're roaming the airport. First time in my 11 seasons that I've ever had to sleep in an airport. Based on travel, it was only a matter of time. Half of us are sleeping at the airport, half of us at the hotel. There weren't enough rooms after our flight got delayed, 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 and then canceled at 1 o'clock this morning." By the way, this is this morning. "Now it's 1:44, and we're here at the airport until 9 a.m. And I'm hoping that they can get out of the airport at 9 a.m., but nothing is for sure." You know, there's an interesting rule in the WNBA, and I won't spend a lot of time because I know that there's zero interest out there for the WNBA. But in order to maintain competitive balance, the NBA, Lloyd, forces every WNBA team to fly commercial. So it's just mind-boggling to me that the WNBA PA, that their association, and these women get together and they're like, "Okay, yeah, we agree to it." Because there's probably six teams that have really deep pocket backing. And there's five or six that have been vocal about saying, "No, we want to take every one of our girls on a charter flight and show them love and show them respect and, you know, try to make sure that their travel is as comfortable as it possibly can be.
Treated like most professional sports teams."
And the WNBA said, "No, in order to keep competitive balance, you'll all be flying commercial." Now, this is what you end up with. And there are some exceptions to the rule. I think that there's like an all-star game. And I think that the championship, they all get the chartered flights. But this is an ugly situation for the WNBA.
Crazy that they couldn't find a single, any sort of accommodations. Yeah, I can't imagine that happening to any other sport.
The WNBA is just a tough case, man. It's a tough case because they're struggling getting the attendance, the interest. They're struggling, but they want to continue to be this entity. But, man, I went from the NFL to the AFL, Lloyd. I've got a really good sense of what the NFL tastes like and then what the AFL tastes like. And I had a blast in the AFL. But the AFL, we flew commercial. And, you know, we made okay salaries, but we flew commercial. And you didn't get those amazing locker room comforts. And we all knew in the locker room, we'd talk about it like, yeah, we're kind of where we belong.
Our guy Klauke's talked about because he went and did, you know, obviously from the Bees, but went and filled in for the Angels for a few games.
Yeah.
So he got to fly with the MLB and do that. And it's like, it's a different world. Next level.
Yeah, I went from getting a shrimp cocktail and Philly cheese sub as I'm getting on a chartered flight, having all my luggage taken, to having to pack up my pads and helmet and getting on a commercial flight, checking those things in, waiting at the conveyor. Like
Some guy came to Klauke and said, "Here, let me take your," and Klauke said, "Don't touch my bag. Don't what are you talking about?
My bag.
It's my bag."
Yeah. It's just a different world. I don't like seeing these women stuck in the airport. It's a bummer deal. But I also understand it. Like, the WNBA is just struggling. All right, spin it.
Why can't the Jets have nice things?
It's unbelievable. Right when you think the Jets, they get this entire offensive line put together, and they're like, "Hey, we've got a starting five that we feel like can protect Zach Wilson." Mekhi Becton is kind of the center project of that thing. He is a really good offensive lineman, and he was involved in a run play, went down, and couldn't bear much weight, was limping around. So they ended up taking off his helmets and his pads, and they're sending him in and going to be checking out whatever happened to him. But Mekhi Becton went down in Jets practice, and when you're looking at Zach Wilson and wanting him to take that next step, he needs that offensive line in front of him, and they just continue to fall. They're dropping like flies, and I don't understand it. It's like the curse of the Jets. Is there some type of curse out there
that I'm just
not aware of?
Yeah, there might be, because they just can't get it. Even when it feels like maybe they're getting something going, you're right. I mean, they just can't. Something happens. And that's, depending on what it is, be a big loss.
Oh, if it's Mekhi Becton. If Mekhi is out for the season,
right.
It's a massive loss. They're pinning a lot of hopes on this guy. So I would be sick to see that Mekhi is not able to play out the season. And I really do want to see Zach Wilson take that next step, because we know what happens. If year two flatlines, year three is going to be sketchy, and he'll be out by year four. It's just the cycle of the Utah Jets first-round quarterback picks. The New York Jets.
Utah Jets. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be nice. Bring him here. Maybe you can kick
the curse.
Whatever curse is placed on them. But it just is the cycle of the New York Jets quarterback situation. And I don't want Zach Wilson to get caught in it.
You kind of knew that was probably going to happen eventually when that's where he got drafted, because that's just what happened.
Yeah, we did call it. I hope that he's able to move around a little bit. I do follow two guys that are at Jets camp on Twitter, and they do a play-by-play in Jets camp. Which tells you it's just incredible, the media coverage when you play in New York. Here you are, the Jets, the worst team to ever be in the NFL, and you've got these guys that are doing play-by-plays. And I will tell you that it sounds like Zach Wilson's had some really good practices. In fact, Lloyd, he had a perfect day in practice. I don't know if you saw that, but it was last week, maybe Thursday or Friday of last week, and he was perfect. No incompletions through the entirety of team situations for Zach
Wilson. Had that been my Raiders and that happened with Derek Carr, I'd be claiming Super Bowl bound.
You already are claiming.
I know. It was one heck of a opening preseason game.
Well, I hope the Raiders or the Broncos make it to the Super Bowl. I do want one of your teams to go.
No, you don't.
I do.
The way you come out with, like, you.
I do.
You look for stories, like you get into the trenches to find stories that make the Raiders look bad. It doesn't even matter. It could be somebody that was, like, picked up off waivers and cut, like, the next week, and you'd be like, former Raider... offensive lineman so-and-so.
That is not true.
Guilty of drug charges. Like, if there's any sort of something, a connection with the Raiders anyway, you're just going to, that's all you're
waiting. I always try to keep an open
mind. You don't. You're not fair and balanced.
I am fair and balanced.
No, you're not.
There's nothing fair and balanced about you at all. I give more proper and positive coverage for the Broncos than the Raiders?
You give more, better coverage. Yes. No. You guys, you and Scotty team up against me. And it's like, really? Come on. It's like the Broncos have just as many convicts as the Raiders.
I'm actually going to go do a 10-year
just as much. Then. There's just as much jail problems. Tomfoolery with the Broncos.
Criminal activity.
You name it.
You feel like the Broncos have as much of it?
Of course they do.
Scotty's not here to defend that. So
yeah,
bring this up with Scotty when he comes back.
Right,
tomorrow.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to spin it one more time or should we take a break? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap this up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! Woo! Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Some people are meant to last and live forever, and that was Olivia Newton-John. Jeez. talk about just putting a damper on my day. Losing Olivia Newton-John? Oh, that's a rough one. Hey, by the way, stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Get free nicotine patches and gum at waytoquit.org. Didn't even realize it. Diagnosed with breast cancer back in 2017 and just continued to fight this thing. Was able to be around for her daughter's wedding and was able to do some great things in between diagnosis and now, but passing away at the age of 73. The complications of this cancer. Cancer gets the best of them. I don't know what happens. It's incredible. Some of the great people that go down with this stinking disease, cancer. I wish that we could just figure out a way, Lloyd, to completely eradicate cancer. Holy cow, it does so much damage. But Olivia Newton-John was fantastic. It's just weird to me that she would be gone at such a young age. By the way, if you missed any parts of this show, get back to KSLSports.com. We talked with Harvey Unga. He is the running backs coach for BYU, and we went through all things Christopher Brooks and running back room and everything that you'll need to know about those BYU running backs. We caught up with Patrick Kinahan of DJ and PK. He was at Utah Media Availability, and we talked to PK about some things in the world of college football, including the coaches poll, the top 25 that came out, and his thoughts on BYU not being mentioned in the top 25. We caught up with Blake Anderson, the head coach at Utah State, and got a Utah State camp update. They had a big scrimmage on Saturday. He went through some of those numbers and stats and things that he liked and things that he didn't like from that scrimmage. So a lot on the website today to go check out, as well as number 20 in our 60 and 60. It was announced today as Peyton Wilgar, BYU linebacker, and very deserving of that. So a lot to go ingest at KSLSports.com. Big thanks, as always, Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us today and doing fantastic things for our listeners. And Miles has been kind enough to be with us and give us some insight in what Wasatch Medical Clinic can do for us as men, for our health. And Miles, we just need guys to stop contemplating and worrying about it and mulling it over and just call 801-901-8000. You just call. This is where it starts. Get started back into full health.
It's the first step on a journey. So guys, if you've missed it, I'll recap what I've been saying to you all day. For 30 years, we've had traditional methods of treating AD. It's been the pill, it's been surgery and needles. I think we've all had enough needles to last us for a while. But now we have a technology, not a pill, to treat ED, and it's called acoustic wave therapy. It's a machine. It sits right on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand to allow for more blood flow and oftentimes repair themselves. We're treating the root cause of ED, trying to get you free from the pill, get some spontaneity back into your love life, and do it all as quicker than you think. Only 15 minutes in the clinic, guys. Take that first step and give us a call.
Give them a call, 801-901-8000, and really just take full control. And I know that this thing can be really difficult. It can be strenuous on marriages. It can really affect the way you go about your work and your business. And it can change so many things. And there is a fix. There's help out there. Miles and Andrew and the great people at Wasatch Medical Clinic, they're gonna help you along to figure out how to get you back to the way things used to be. 801-901-8000. And Miles, I know that you've got some things out there, some incentives, some freebies for our listeners that call.
That's right. If you're ready to take that first step on the journey of getting on the other side of ED, we're going to pay for that first step. Your initial exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound are all free. Our competitors charge for that, plus a gift just for coming in. Guys love it. This is all worth hundreds of dollars, guys. We're going to pay for it all for you. Give us a call, 801-901-8000. Take advantage of that, or even if you just have questions, we're standing by to help.
Even if you just got questions as to what's going on with you, 801-901-8000. Miles, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I can guarantee you, Scott Girard, it is confirmed. We'll be back for tomorrow's show.
Maybe.
No, it is confirmed. He's done playing with Bears, and he's back to talk about sports. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at noon. And I apologize for the last 6 days without him.
What are you talking about? We've got some great shows.
I've tried. You've tried.
Scotty, if you want to stay gone for another week and a half, go ahead.
Hey, don't do that. He'll end up living with the Bears. I've never known a man to be so fascinated, so in love with the Bears.
I notice he hasn't sent us any pictures of, I'm sure you've seen some Bears, and he hasn't sent us anything.
Not a peep.
Nothing's come from him.
Alaska's treated him well, but it's time for our big burly wilderness men to return.
The most lively he's seen of bears out in Alaska.
Any chance he's got a big Grizzly Adams beard when he comes back?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm hoping. I hope we get the Alaska Scott back. Who he comes in like a full like seal flannel? Skin coat.
Give me a flannel shirt. A nice, like I'm talking.
Bear claw necklace.
Yeah, maybe an Eddie Bauer. Maybe an Eddie Bauer shirt and like a bear claw necklace. I hope he got something blessed and brought something back blessed for us.
I want him to come back to the show like Anthony Hopkins did at the end of the movie The Edge.
Yes.
When he's walking up the dock and somebody's like, what about your friends? And he says, my friends, they died saving my life. I hope Scotty returns that way. Triumphant.
Maybe we could remake a scene from The Edge.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
Yes. I'd love to see it. So much to do this week. Keep it tuned right here to 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.